Connections is our theme for this year, and connecting with our youth is our theme for this month. Our young folks are away tonight. They're gone to the area-wide devotional that's being held at Faulkner University, and we pray that they will have a safe journey back after those events are completed. But you know, I need to talk to us. I don't need to talk to the young folks. I need to talk to the old folks about this subject. It's not really an us and them. In fact, if that's our attitude toward even any part of our church family, an us and them attitude, then that's a part of the problem. That's a part of the problem that brings on the need to try to bridge back over and get everybody back together. There are some things that I do want to say tonight that will be particularly applicable to us as the older folks of the congregation, and I've enlisted the PowerPoint poster boy to help me again tonight to get some of my points across, and I want to go back over some of the things that we observed last Sunday night. In fact, these three things maybe the kind of thing that we need to look at every Sunday night just briefly as we begin our discussion. Number one, the young people of a local church can be a great asset. You know, that's kind of understated. That's really an understatement, because one of the greatest assets that we could ever have as a church family is a good, strong youth group. A good, strong group of young people who are conscientious, who are obedient Christians, and who are interested in learning and interested in serving. What more could you want out of any group of people within a church family? The fact is, our young people are very qualified to be an asset. By that, I mean that they possess a lot of ability, they possess a lot of character, they possess the kind of things that sometimes only just needs a little bit of attention to bring those things out so that they will be used to the glory of God and to the benefit of the local congregation. So when we talk about connecting with the youth group, we're talking about connecting with a very, very important part of our church family. Number two, it is a fact that old people were the young people at one time. Now, I don't think we can overemphasize this enough. This goes back to what I said at the very beginning about this mentality of, or this attitude of us and them. I've been around a lot of congregations of the Lord's Church. When I was growing up, we had a good, strong youth group at the congregation where Dad preached, and we were involved in area-wide devotionals and Bible bowls and things like that, and so I was able to mix and mingle and interact with a lot of young people from other congregations. And I think I can truthfully say now, looking back from way, way, way down the road, I think I can truthfully say that some of the biggest problems grew out of the fact that people tried to divide the congregation. Divide the congregation into the young people and the older people. Now, listen, there are a lot of things that the young people do that the old people can't do. There are a lot of things that they need to be involved in that don't need the involvement of some of the older folks. But there are so many things in a church family where we can all work together. And if we've got this idea of y'all do this and y'all are the cause of that, and it's y'all, it's not us. Boy, we're doomed from the very beginning. We as older folks need to remember that there was a time when some of us were the youth group. And then there's that third one that we dare not forget. If all goes well, our young people will be the old people one day. Now, there are a couple of things that can happen that will prevent that from taking place. If we don't do a diligent job of teaching and training and influencing them, if we kind of keep them pushed away at arm's distance, if we don't ever try to make the connections with them, they may not be around when it's time for them to be the old people. You've read the articles and seen the statistics just like I have. There is a frightening number of young folks who are leaving the church as they grow up. And they can be blamed on a lot of different things. Let's just make sure that it can't be blamed on us and our attitudes toward one another. Let's make sure that we're doing everything that we can to promote the harmony and the unity in the congregation. You know, there are a lot of different things that I thought about that I could kind of, directions I could go in tonight. One of the things that I think needs to be, we need to be reminded about, especially us old people. We need to try a little bit harder to be more approachable. Our young people, any group of young people, if they are treated in a standoffish way and if they are made uncomfortable by the way the older folks ignore them or don't ever say anything to them or kind of treat them like a group of outsiders, it's going to be kind of tough for them to get involved. If any one of our youth group has not walked up to you at one of our assemblies and maybe put their arm around your shoulders or just stuck out their hand to speak to you or maybe even said, "I'm really thinking about you." You know, it may not always be all their fault. It may be that we've not made it clear that we love young people and that we'd love for them to show us some encouragement. I hear that question all the time. Well, how can we encourage our youth group? How can we get our youth group to be more encouraged? I think a good question is, how can we let our youth group know that we enjoy their encouragement of us? It's worth thinking about. Well, I got my chalkboard out and I just jotted down two or three things that I'd like for us to look at before we close tonight. Our guidelines for connecting. These are just three or four things that come to mind that we won't really spend a whole lot of time on, but maybe just some general pointers. Number one, engage, not entertain. A youth minister is not an entertainment specialist. There are a lot of people who believe that a youth minister is hired for the purpose of entertaining the young people of a congregation and entertaining the youth group. We don't believe that here. When I say we, I'm talking for the elders because I know for a fact that we don't believe that. We don't want that. We don't want anybody here for the purpose of entertaining our young folks. But there is the matter of the fact that we all need to involve ourselves in engaging with our young folks. And this is something that I've probably already touched on tonight thus far. But we need to look for ways that we can engage our youth group. Let me ask you something. Aubrey, am I doing that?
Yes, you are.
Oh, well, the moral of that story is don't ask if you don't want to know. Okay. Let me ask you something. What are we training our young people for? What are we trying to make out of them? Are we trying to make doctors and nurses out of them? No, of course not. Are we trying to make engineers or truck drivers out of them? No, not at all. Are we trying to make ball players out of them? Nope. Parents, you've got a big enough job doing that at home. You don't need the church to be involved in that. What are we trying to do? What should we be trying to make out of our young folks? We ought to be trying to make servants of God out of them. We need to be making Christians out of them. We need to be leading them in the things that will help them to grow. We need to be leading them toward what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. This is a verse that we read last Sunday night with a little bit different point. And the good thing about this verse is it's got a lot of points in it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Paul tells Timothy, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." That's what we need to be training our young people to do. We need to be teaching them to be examples in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And if we're not willing to engage them, we're not going to be able to lead them in those ways. A lot of churches get a little caught up, in my opinion, in the matter of entertaining their youth groups. And this comes out of the idea that, well, you know, you got to keep them happy in order to keep them around. You got to make them happy in order to keep them involved. And I suppose that may be a part of the mindset that comes out of, I don't know, maybe our educational system where we've been told that, you know, learning is fun. We've got to make learning fun in order to keep kids engaged in school and all that. But let's don't lose sight of our primary purpose. Let's don't lose sight of the fact that we're trying to train them to be servants of God. Number two, bridge the gap. This is what I was talking about a few minutes ago. A lot of times there is a gap between the older folks and the younger folks. It's easy to sit around and talk about the gap. It's easy to sit around and complain about the gap. Our young people, I just don't know about them. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why they're so, you know, they're just not, they don't, we don't, I don't. How often do we really go out of our way to try to bridge the gap to our young folks? And then number three, remember this, balance is essential. I know a lot of you know this, but I want to remind you again that balance, that was Brother James Glenn's favorite word when it came to church. Balance. And he kind of had a follower in me in that mindset too, because I think he was really on to something. Balance is what we really need. I read an interesting article just in the last day or so. I believe it was Brother Brad Harrob who wrote the article. And he said in that article, he said, I speak at a lot of gatherings. I go to a lot of youth rallies and talk to a lot of groups of people. And he said, the more and more I do this, the more and more surprised I am by how many of these things a lot of churches are having and scheduling. Their calendars are just filled with these special occasions for youth groups. And he had a real interest. He said, I'm beginning to wonder if we need to cut down on some of the events and spend a little bit more time teaching our young people how to be good Christians and to be more evangelistic. In other words, he said, we've got all of these events that we're going to, and our calendars are filled with these things. Now listen, I know that just in the last week or two, we printed a list of things that are on the calendar for our young folks, and it's really nothing. It's just some opportunities. It's not like we're packing the calendar full. But Brother Harab said, I see that we've got more and more of these events. It almost as though we believe that if we can keep them traveling and busy in that way, then that ought to make us feel good about what's going on. And he says, and there's not a single one of them that seems to be able to teach someone else what to do in order to be saved. I think he's got a valid point. Area-wide devotionals are good. Youth events and youth rallies are profitable. They can be. But if that's all we do toward trying to get our young folks engaged and involved and properly taught, then we're fooling ourselves if we believe they're going to grow up and stay faithful to the Lord's church and be productive and win the souls of others. Number four. This is the last one on my list. This one may surprise you a little bit. So you better let me explain what I'm talking about. We need to groom them to be partners. It's that word partners that's throwing you off. You see, there's a New Testament word that you'll be more familiar with, but really means the same thing. Paul uses it over and over and over in his epistles to the young churches. He talks about fellow laborers. Fellow laborers. We need to be grooming our young people to be fellow laborers with us. Partners with us. Fellow laborers. To work with us and alongside us. Not as a separate bunch, not in a separate way, but working together for the success of the body of Christ. I dare say some of our young folks might be really taken aback if some of us went up to them and said, hey, we're looking forward to the time, to the day when we can really say you are our partner, our fellow laborer, working together with us side by side in the kingdom. You see, our young folks, they've got an advantage over some of us. They have connections that we don't have. They've got some contacts that we will never be able to make. Are we equipping them to be able to have the right information when those contacts are made? These are just a few of the guidelines. There are others, but we'll talk some more about this next Sunday night, Lord willing. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond now as we stand together and sing.